Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Slid into the open net, and that's all she wrote here.
As the Ducks win, as they snap a three-game losing streak, the Blues have now lost three straight. 4-1 the final.
LeBanc had the puck rolling on him, but he got it around the backside of the net, hoping somebody would be there, but the only person there was Fisher, and he poked it back away. Now a giveaway by the Sharks. Breakaway. They score! Dvorak steals the puck, and all of a sudden it's 3-1. That is a turnover in the defensive zone. No chance for Martin Jones on that play.
Well, I thought we got off to a slow start, and I thought that, we came to the party a little late. I think in the second period, we did some better things. But, I think the goal at the end of the second, going into the third, 1-1 may have been a little different. And then, at 2-1 game, it was a complete giveaway up the middle of the ice. But that's the game, really, for me. But we didn't generate enough offensively because, I didn't like our compete in the offensive zone. Didn't like our compete all over the ice, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was good enough for a game like this. I thought that, we weren't physical enough. We didn't stop them. We didn't stop their feet enough. And I think just didn't spend enough time, enough grind time, I call it. I think we were just one and done in the offensive zone.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Bringing us in there was the Ducks win over the Blues, followed by Dan Ruzanowski giving us his call on the goal that put the Coyotes up 3-1. And then that was Bob Bugner pretty much giving his response to what he saw last night. And I am not going to lie to you. I was very much disappointed with what I saw from the Sharks last night. From the minute that game began, from the minute the puck hit the ice, the Sharks were flat. They were flat. They looked fatigued. They didn't look like they were energetic. They didn't look engaged. They didn't look like they were treating it like it was the biggest game of the year up to that point. Now, that may not be where their mentals were. That may not be any way indicative of the effort they were actually putting forth on the ice. That's totally fine. My interpretation from the outside is totally different from the play and the interpretation on the inside. But they all acknowledge the slow start. They all acknowledge the trouble generating opportunities, and they all acknowledge the very obvious, and that was that it was just not good enough. And if you're not good enough against a team like Arizona, who is not great, you're going to have trouble, even if it's not a team that's a world beater like the Avs or the Golden Knights. But the thing that I am most flummoxed by is if you're going into a game knowing that their third string goalie is going to be out there, then you feel, at least from my point of view, that the effort right off the bat has just got to be ask questions of that goalie, go at him time and time and again, pepper it with shots, make him be the hero, make him respond, and just come out in an all-out attack in the first few minutes of that game to give yourself that opportunity to put one away early. Just to try and rattle him, just to try and do whatever it takes to give yourself that early mental advantage by way of an early score. And that wasn't what we saw at all. It was a very, very flat performance from the San Jose Sharks. And I know that games like that are going to happen in this season, especially if it was a regular 82-game season. You're going to have nights where the team comes out flat. But this is a condensed schedule. It's a condensed season. It's the first night of a back-to-back against a team that you're trying to take the jump on. You just came off a two-straight win against the Kings, and you've got it, like we heard coming in, you've got the Blues who lost on the night. It seemed like a golden opportunity for the Sharks to take a big step forward, and they didn't. The effort wasn't there, or not the effort, but the performance wasn't there. And overall, it was one of those nights that the Sharks are going to be looking back on should they miss the playoffs this year. And they'll think that was one that got away from us. That was a night where we needed to be better, and we simply weren't. You know, Martin Jones has been the hero for the Sharks as of late. And if you look at that game, it's 2-1 going into the third period. Neither of those goals, which were on Jones, he did his job. He was giving the Sharks a chance to win. He was making big stops. And it's a 2-1 game. And Brent Burns just has an awful giveaway that makes it 3-1. And then suddenly that's the first of three goals in about a 2 minute and 20 second span. And suddenly it's a 5-1 game. And then, yeah, Patty's able to knock one back. But it doesn't matter at that point. The game had been over and decided with. And now the Coyotes are feeling like the team that they're maybe going to be able to make a climb. And the Sharks are left wondering what exactly happened. And the thing that bothers me the most is that every day we hear Bob Bugner saying, simplify, simplify, simplify. And when the Sharks do that, it seems to be commensurate with a more positive performance on the ice. And instead, you had Brent Burns in that instance. I don't know what he was doing trying to feed a pass. Instead of just trying to get it out of there, he was trying to go for the home run. And Bob Bugner always says, go for the singles, go for the doubles. Don't go for the home run. Brent Burns went for the home run. It was a giveaway. And then suddenly Jones is put in an awful situation. And then boom, like that, it's a 3-1 game. The complexion of the entire game changes at that point. The Sharks are on their heels. It's like I said, the first of three goals that the Coyotes were able to pepper the back of the net, and suddenly the game is out of hand. And I just don't understand why that message is not being more accepted and put into practice by the San Jose Sharks. Like that, I don't get it. I don't understand why that seems to be having trouble with these guys. I recognize the high-level capability of Brent Burns and the high-level capability of Erik Karlsson, and you go down the board, I understand what these guys are all capable of, but sometimes you don't play to what you're capable of. You have to go for the safe round. I mean, you go back to Phil Mickelson winning his first major. What did he do? He played it safe. Instead of going for the amazing shots that we know he's capable of, he played it safe, and I feel like the Sharks have to get that into their head. Play it safe. That doesn't mean play it stupid or play it without a lack of aggression or play it without a lack of passion. It just means you have to not put yourself in a bad situation. And when it's a 2-1 game, especially when you give up that big momentum swing at the end of the second period to let them take the lead after it's 1-1. By the way, you go up on a shorty. That should be a momentum swing in and of itself to go up after that. And the Sharks couldn't. Instead, they gave up the goal that puts them down 2-1 at the end of the period. But it's a 2-1 game. And then suddenly everything changes. And I'm not going to say it's entirely because Brent Burns didn't just play it safe and go for the simple pass, but it certainly didn't help, right? It certainly didn't do anything to give the Sharks a better chance to win. And I'm not going to put this all on Brent Burns because he had his chances earlier in the game, and Brent Burns is always going to do what he can do to help the Sharks win. But it was just one of those easily identifiable moments where you say, that's why Bugner is constantly preaching simplify, simplify, simplify. We saw it right there in front of us. We saw it with our own eyes. And it was one of those things where you kind of throw your hands up and you say, well, that's great. You know, that's perfect. That's everything that you're being told not to do. And then you did it. And now the Sharks are down 3-1. And listen, 3-1 game, you can still respond. And they didn't. They just started playing outside the system and trying to play hero hockey, and they were punished for it. And we don't yet know the long-term ramifications of this loss. I mean, the Sharks can bounce back tomorrow night, and we don't know what's going to continue to happen to the Blues, but I just look at a missed opportunity with this one. Again, you're going against the third string goalie. This cannot be the game where you have the lack of generation on 5-on-5 play. And then the power play, once again, it just does not look good as of late. It's obviously been a weak part of the San Jose Sharks game all year long, and you hoped that in that instance, when they finally got their first of the night, that they were going to be able to do something with it, and they weren't. And that, I mean, if I have a bone to pick over the course of the entire game, I thought there were a couple penalties that the Sharks could have been awarded earlier in the game, and they weren't. The Sharks just don't seem to be getting the calls as of late. I don't know why. I think we can all have our own theories and speculations, and it's all, you know, your opinion is as good as anyone else's, and we all have speculation about the officiating, and that was one of those games where you just thought the Sharks had earned a call earlier in the game, but that's not the way it went. And honestly, considering how abysmal the Sharks' power play has looked as of late, I'm not entirely sure it would have done anything, but it just would have been nice because you would have had that opportunity to make something happen. But the thing, again, that we keep on getting troubled by is that you're going against a third string goalie and you're going up against a beat up team and you're not generating those chances. And the Sharks have been outshot in each of the last three games, and in each of the last three games, they've gotten off to relatively slow starts. Yeah, it's just taken them a little bit of a time into the game to kind of settle in and really start figuring things out. And that's something that's got to be rectified sooner rather than later. And I don't know if it is the physical fatigue of the overall schedule and the way it's coming to the Sharks fast and furious. You know, each of the last couple of weeks, they've been playing, you know, four games in six nights, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It's a lot of hockey, no doubt about it. But everybody is dealing with some relatively crazy scheduling, and I feel like the Sharks need to be able to respond regardless of how their legs are feeling. Now, I know that's much easier for me to say than it is for those guys to do out there on the ice, but the trouble with the five-on-five generation, a lack of overall crisp play, guys turning the puck over, guys making the hero pass as opposed to going for the safe play, a lack of sustained possession in the O-zone. I mean, these are things that we've seen kind of creep back up with the Sharks over the course of the year. I mean, they've kind of pushed them down, and then they come bubbling back up again. And they push them down, they come bubbling back up. And, you know, I was sitting there, you know, waiting. I was waiting for my tweet to send out at the end of the second period because the Sharks had bounced back that point and tied it, and the Coyotes hadn't scored as of yet. And I was thinking to myself, boy, it will be nice if I could tweet that the Sharks, you know, have seemingly turned the corner on second periods. And here was a game where they were entering the second period down 1-0, and they were able to score that goal and take advantage of what was offered to them in a hard game where their legs looked tired from the start and send it tied 1-1 into the and then it's gone. And then the Sharks are down 2-1. And I try to be aware of the fact that fatigue is obviously a factor, but it just felt like this was the game where fatigue could not be a factor, where you needed to be able to push yourself beyond the obvious realities of what a season like this is bringing to you, right? I mean, the Sharks are only going to get so many more opportunities to climb back into it. The Sharks are still just 7 points out of fourth in the West. They trail LA by 2 points. They're 5 points back of Arizona now. And then sitting in fourth is St. Louis with those 37 points. So the Sharks had a big opportunity to continue their climb, and they were unable to do it. The brilliant part about this schedule for the San Jose Sharks is they will be right back in it tomorrow against these Coyotes. And they'll give themselves an opportunity to climb right back in it with the Blues. The Sharks do have 2 games in hand on St. Louis. They've played 32 games. The Blues have played 34. So the Sharks can give themselves a big, big chance again tomorrow if they can bounce back with a win against the Coyotes. And again, watching the Coyotes tonight, it did not seem to me like the Sharks were being completely outplayed or completely outmatched or in any way, shape, or form. It simply looked like they were playing tired on the ice. There was not a lot of emotion. There was not a lot of fire. There was not a lot of go in the Sharks' tank. And listen, I know it sounds crazy to say, oh, well, because they were fatigued tonight, they might not be as fatigued tomorrow night. That can be the reality. You know, these guys' bodies go through a lot, and you never know how it's going to respond from one day to the next. I do not expect the Sharks to be that flat for a second straight game, and I think Arizona played with a little bit of desperation, and the Sharks did not match that intensity from the get-go, and they found themselves as the reactive team. And not unexpectedly, the Sharks have played a much better game when they are the team that is dictating the pace, when they are dictating everything that's happening out there on the ice, and I think that's what they're going to have to do again tomorrow night if they want to give themselves a chance to win. The other thing we'll be looking at in this game is I imagine we will be seeing Devan Dubnyk back out there for the San Jose Sharks, and he's missed a couple of games because Martin Jones has been absolutely on fire, and this is what you hope you get out of a goalie competition like this, is that Dubnyk, who's had to wait in the wings while Jones has been receiving all the praise in the world, you hope that Devan Dubnyk comes out and has a performance that is absolutely magnificent, that gives the Sharks a chance to win and shows his coaching staff like, hey, yeah, I know that Martin Jones has been on fire, but I'm pretty damn good here as well. And that's exactly what we've wanted to have with the Sharks. So that's exactly the type of competition you want with Martin Jones and Devan Dubnyk. It's not that the two guys are competing with each other. It's that they are competing with themselves in an effort to prove to the coaching staff which one of them is earning more time out there on the ice. So I'm excited to see how Devan Dubnyk responds tomorrow night. I also want to know, much in the same vein as Randy was wondering about during the broadcast last night, if in response to the hit on Radim Šimek, we're going to see Curtis Gabriel out there trying to fire the Sharks up with a little bit of physicality. I am not going to be surprised if that is the case, but I also am not going to be surprised if that is not the case. But you did feel like there was a lack of an emotional catalyst for the Sharks last night, right? You felt like something needed to happen to give them that push, and it just never came, or it never materialized, or the opportunity just wasn't there. Whatever it was, it just felt like the Sharks were not mentally engaged to the extent that they needed to be, at least not in response to the game that Arizona was playing. And one of the things, or really one of the guys that I kept on coming back to in my mind, was Timo Meier. Like, I kept on waiting for him to do something. I kept on waiting for him to really make his presence felt over the course of this game, and he just wasn't there with the physicality. It looked like he couldn't get any rhythm going in terms of his overall offensive game. And Timo Meier is just such a tease. I mean, I think there's so much potential with him, and we know what was his game in 2019 when he had so much talent around him. And I know he's on a good line right now. He's got a lot of talent around him, and those got shuffled around a bit as the game continued last night, but he's got to do more. He's got to produce more. He's got to create more. He's got to be more of an impetus for things to occur out there on the ice. I mean, when he is playing his peak level of hockey, you look at him and you say, that is the prototype for a modern power forward in the NHL. He has all the skill you could ask for. He's got the size. He's got the power. He's got the skating. He's got the stick handling. He's got it all. It's just the consistency is not there at this point. I know that he's much younger than we give him credit for, but at the same time, there are guys the same age as him in the NHL that have taken that next step. And I think that he needs to take that next step. And again, easy for me to say, but when you see all the tools that he has to work with, it is a little bit flummoxing at times that you don't see him have more of an impact on the game. And maybe it's finding the right combination for him. Maybe it's trying to find the right motivation for him. Whatever it is, it needs to happen, because his performance in terms of what the Sharks are going to do over the remainder of this year, I feel they are very much intertwined. I feel they are very much going to be linked to each other. If we say Timo Meier has a big second half of the season, that's going to be a big part of the reason why the Sharks find themselves in a playoff-type push. If he continues to be as relatively inconsistent as we've seen him up to this point of the year, that's going to be something we're going to point to. I don't know if that's an oversimplification, but it feels like he is one of those players who you're waiting for him to really come in particular. You feel like Tomáš Hertl is doing what you expect of him. Obviously, Evander Kane is doing what you expect of him. Same thing from Logan Couture. I know the points haven't been there in terms of the goal. Well, just the goals, I guess we can say, with Brent Burns, but it feels like he's getting a lot of assists, and it feels like his defensive game has been there. And I would obviously like to see more from Erik Karlsson overall, but Timo Meier is the one guy that I keep on looking at in terms of the overall offensive production and thinking and asking, why are we not seeing more from him? And maybe this will get answered, maybe it won't, but I do know that it would go a long, long way in helping the Sharks over the second half of this season as they try to climb back into the playoff race. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to get some thoughts from Bob Bugner, Logan Couture, and Erik Karlsson on the factor that fatigue played in this game. You're on Morning Tide.
Coors Light wants to help you catch a Sharks game from the best seats in the house. Just share a photo of your Sharks at-home game setup to sjsharks.com/homeice for a chance to win Coors Light Silver Seats tickets, Sharks gear, and more. Winners will be chosen weekly, so post a pic showing how you watch the Sharks to sjsharks.com/homeice today. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Must be 21 or older. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and I kind of felt that way, at least for me personally. I didn't play well, so I felt a little sluggish and slow. But those are the nights where you got to dig deep and really compete and win your one-on-one battles, even if your legs aren't with you. And tonight, they won more of those battles, and we got what we deserved.
That is the captain, Logan Couture, bringing us back here on Morning Tide, talking about the mental and physical fatigue and saying that the team got what they deserved. I guess that is a very blunt way of putting it, but yeah, they were outplayed by the Coyotes last night. And the thing that I keep on coming back to is that the Coyotes played with a sense of desperation. And that may have been born of the fact that they were trying to support their third string goalie. But whatever it was born of, it was evident on the ice that they were playing with a greater emotional intensity than the Sharks were. And I think that that's going to set the stage for an interesting battle in game two tonight, when the Sharks take on, again, the Coyotes, and are going to have to respond again to try and keep their hopes alive. Here's Erik Karlsson weighing in on the fatigue and whether or not it will be a factor tonight when they take on the Coyotes.
It's hard to say. Tomorrow's a different day. I think that everybody that's, an athlete or playing this game, nights like this are going to happen when you're not feeling your best. That doesn't mean that just because we didn't feel that today, we're not going to feel it tomorrow. So, we're fortunate that we get another crack at it right away. We don't have too much time to think about it. And, we just got to go out there tomorrow and try and find a way to win a game with, what we have that day and what we're going to bring.
But Karlsson also added this.
It was one of those games where we didn't really have our legs come start of the game. Joner kept us in it all the way till the end. But unfortunately, they were just the better teams right off the start today. And I think that we did some good things to, keep ourselves in the mix for as long as we did. But at the end of the day, we know that this was not good enough to win hockey.
So I think the thing that you take away here is that they all are acknowledging that they were not good enough. They know that the intensity wasn't there. They know that they seemed out of it from the start. And I think that the one thing we have seen lately, though, however, is the slow starts, and you don't want that to become more of the norm with the Sharks. Here's head coach Bob Bugner talking about the fact that the Sharks have not had the greatest of starts as of late and have been getting outshot overall.
I don't really go by the shots tonight. Yeah, I don't think we were very good, and that was probably a result of that. But, the LA games, I addressed that before. I think, we're very close in chances against LA both nights, and or at least the second night. And, tonight again was just, a combination of just us being mentally, physically tired and not competing the right way. So, if it's a pattern where you're getting outshot, no chance, I mean, of course, that's a concern. But I don't think it's a pattern right now.
And then, of course, there's just the overall nature of the season right now, right? I mean, it is hot and heavy. The games are coming, like we said, 4 games in 6 nights with the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It's a lot for any team under the most ideal of circumstances. And I don't think ideal circumstance has been applied to the Sharks in any sense for one game of this year. But is that affecting the team and their ability to compete? More from Bugner.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I think that we're all in, every team's got the same kind of schedule on the way in. And I think that, this building, we haven't necessarily played well in yet this season. And, we got to answer the bell tomorrow. We got to put this one behind us, forget about it, and, learn from it. We'll be watching it tonight, but we'll come with some adjustments and some X's and O's. But all that doesn't matter if you're not out, ready to get out there and work and outwork the other team. And I thought that we didn't check that box tonight. And that's what you get.
It is interesting to hear both Couture and Bugner come along with a same line of interpretation following the game with a that is what you get or you get what you deserve type mentality. They recognize that they were outworked, and the one thing that they're going to have to solve in particular is the lack of generation 5-on-5. Here's what Tomas Hertl had to say after the game.
Yeah, it's tough. I think it wasn't likes for our team. Everybody kind of looks, for me, tired and they've been just skating all over and we can finish check and they kind of manage the game. But for sure, we got still after 2-1, two periods, was 2-1 and we have to find a way, in these games. We know it will be, every team will get through it because we play so many games, every night back-to-backs. And some teams, we will get, tired legs and stuff, but we have to still find a way, win these games, especially when we're 2-1 after second, but we just give them the goals, makes even easier. But for sure, we have to do a better job, because every time we jump on them, forecheck hard, they want to play there, they just handed the puck, but they've been more in our zone. They skate around us. We don't finish the check, and we didn't read our details. So we have to fix it because tomorrow is, we got a rematch.
And then there is the sense that the Sharks missed an opportunity to move towards the Blues with St. Louis losing to Anaheim last night. If the Sharks had been able to get in the win, they would have been that much closer to St. Louis. Were the Sharks aware of that outcome with the Blues? Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, I think every lost game is a missed opportunity for us at this stage. It's just very unfortunate with, you know, as many games as you have. In a season like this, you're not going to feel your best at all times. I think, you know, we got the performance we wanted from our goaltender today to be able to find a way to win this game. Unfortunately, we just couldn't find a way to do it.
And in terms of the frustrations that we watched with the Sharks last year and continuing into this year, and I do want to clarify by saying I think that last year was an entity unto itself. It was born of many factors, and I think that the team overall has shown an improvement this year, is a better team, has a greater level of compete, has more things going on. Not that last year didn't have the effort, but there were just a number of factors that were bogging down things last year. But one thing that I saw last year and one thing that I am seeing this year is that when the Sharks have that opportunity to take the next step being that which would propel them to greater heights or greater levels of success, it hasn't happened. And I also have to temper that by realizing that in the past 15 years of Sharks hockey, except for the 2014-2015 season, they have almost always taken that next step. They've always been able to kick it into gear and find themselves at a team, and seeing what's happened both last year and this year where they're not always able to take that next step and not always able to control their destiny or turn themselves into a better team. It's a different dynamic overall, and I think that it's something that the Sharks can still find. It's just been that much more difficult as of late. And again, for all of us watching, it's very much not the norm with what we've seen with this team, because we've always seen them be able to step up. They may not have won every playoff series. They may not have always, you know, come away with the number one seed in the West or whatever it is. There's a number of qualifiers you can put to this statement, but it's always felt to me like the Sharks have been able to find what they've been looking for, except for the past 2 years. I mean, you go back to the awful start last year, and then they rebound in the month of November, and they get some overtime wins, and it's rough and it's tumble, but they're doing it. And then when it feels like they have that opportunity to take it to that next level, it all fell apart again. It led to the firing of Pete DeBoer. It led to the season just kind of getting away from the Sharks. We all know how that ended prematurely with a pandemic. Now, the Sharks are in a season in which they've been up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, and they're coming off another situation after two games won against LA, where they had a big game last night against Arizona, where you also had the Blues losing, and the Sharks were not able to capitalize upon that. I mean, it's just not what we're used to, but I do think that the leadership group is here with this San Jose team to make it happen. And it was recently brought up by Devin Dubnyk that he felt welcome in the Sharks locker room right away. And that was brought up to Logan Couture after the loss.
Yeah, it's a good spot to play. I've said it for 13 years. This is the best place in the NHL to play. The way the organization treats us, the way that everyone from the training staff to management, you know, you feel welcome when you walk in our dressing room. Fortunately for me, I've played with a lot of guys like Jumbo, Ryan Klo, Patty, Pavs over the years, and they've passed down how to treat teammates onto the younger guys. And, you know, we wouldn't be doing them justice if we didn't treat new players the way they treated us. So learned a lot from those guys, and it bleeds down to the rest of us in the room.
Beyond the numbers, beyond the talent that is out there on the ice, beyond the overall X's and O's, if you want any reason to believe in the Sharks for the remainder of this year, it's what Logan Couture was speaking about right there. You have a group of guys that clearly know how to build chemistry, that clearly know how to make guys feel welcome, that clearly know how to build that camaraderie, and those teammates' relationships go a long way. When Logan Couture goes down the other night, you know, who's the first guy right there next to him? It's Erik Karlsson. And I remember last year when Dallas was in town and Joe Pavelski got the amazing ovation that he did from the fans at SAP Center. After the game, I was standing there and Joe Pavelski had talked to a couple of us and then had walked off. And Erik Karlsson had been doing some post-game stuff. And he comes storming out in a real hurry and he looks around with panic in his eyes and he goes, hey, where did Pavs go? Where did Pavs go? And we point to where he went, and he literally ran down the hall to go and talk to Pavelski. That doesn't happen by accident, right? I mean, let's remember, Karlsson and Pavelski were teammates for 1 year. One single year. It's not like they had spent eons together. It's not like they'd had a history of being teammates for a decade. It was 1 year, and Karlsson looked absolutely terrified that he had missed his opportunity to see Pavelski after the game. That culture, that we often hear people talk about with San Jose, that was maybe one of the most clear examples of what the guys mean when they talk about the culture in San Jose, just to see that type of reaction. And again, like Couture alluded to, it's born of your jumbos and your clothes and your patties and Pavelski. And I would add in, you know, a Boiler in there as well. And before that, Owen Nolan. And you go down the list of guys that have made up that culture in San Jose. It gives you reason to believe that this team is going to continue to fight for each other, even if we just saw a rather flat performance in a big game against the Arizona Coyotes. The good news is they will have this opportunity to fight for each other and bounce back when they take on the Coyotes tonight. We're looking at Saturday night with the San Jose Sharks playing in what will be their biggest game of the year. Sounds like a good time to me. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Arizona picks it up. Oh, fed in front, little backhand chance for Garland off of the Dvorak pass, and that's a great save by Martin Jones. Again, Garland wide open.